So you see, you have daytime, and everything's active in daytime, and at the same time we have nighttime, and things are kind of slow, and you know, put into sleep, and then that make us, you know, more energized next day. So they have daytime, and then nighttime, and also we have hot weather in the summertime, we have cold weather in wintertime, and we have brothers, man. And we also have sisters, right? Things are, you know, two sides. Because there are two sides, things are balanced and normal and even beautiful, right? Now, one side is not that good, okay? So I was in a situation 20 years ago. I was in a Christian club. We have 12 brothers and one sister. You want to be in that situation? It's not that pleasant. It's dry and rough. We need to be balanced, right? Even divine truth in the Bible, it's very balanced, very balanced. So what I was trying to share right now is two sides of the truth. Number one, the first word that I'm looking for is life. Hallelujah for the life. Amen. Especially we're getting into Genesis. We're so impressed with life. The tree of life is the center of the universe, right? That should be our primary matter, right? In our church life, in our Christian life, and in personal life, we just enjoy life. And this life is flowing, right? The river of water of life. But there's another side, which is, I'm looking for this word, work. Or service. These two are closely related and mutually actually affect one another. We need to have life to have proper work and service, right? Genuine work is the overflow and outflow of life. So the more you enjoy life, experience life, something flows out. That is work and service, okay? But also, when you are properly working together with the Lord, cooperating with the Lord, when you serve the Lord in a proper way, that leads you to experience life even more. A perfect example is, I think it's my wife, she eats better than I am, because she's breastfeeding right now. We have a nine-month-old kid, and then she's eating some, my wife has to, you know, give her milk. So she eats a lot. She has very healthy metabolism. So when you shepherd people, when you share gospel with people, when you perfect other people for the building up of the body of Christ, if you're in a proper way in this way, and it requires you to enjoy life even more. If you don't flow out, nothing will come in. So these are closely related. And I just want to share some verses. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? He who abides in me and I in you, what? Bear much fruit, right? So abide, the word abide is on life side. We want to remain in life, right? Enjoy this life, stay in life flow. But then there's manifestation, right? There's issue, an outflow of that life is what? Fruit. 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 Bears much fruit. And also some other verse. John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, drink. That's this life side. Then if you faithfully come to the Lord and drink, and what's going to happen? So flow, river out of its innermost being, flows a river of living water, right? There's a flow. And then the other word I was looking for, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but with all with unveiled face, what do we do? Behold. Oh, I was just appreciating so much brother's help in the morning. We need to behold the Lord, the glory of the Lord. And then what happened? Not only behold Him, We reflect. We reflect the Lord. And especially our subject, this college training, is Lord's return. In Matthew 25, talks about actually these two matters very clearly. So in order for us to prepare for the Lord's coming, we need to be balanced in these two sides. Number one, what? We are virgin. To love the Lord, right? We have vessel and we have lamp. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And that transforms us. That we would have burning brightly, right? That's virgin side. We love the Lord. But then, it's also, we are also slave. Did you notice that? I don't want to talk about slave. In the 21st century, we're living in the land of free. But we are slave. That's what Lord told us. And He is our master. He's going abroad. He gave His possession to us to take care of it. Even though we have different capacity, we have 5 talent, 2 talent, and 1 talent. At least we have 1 talent. That is actually not from you, it's from the Lord. We have responsibility and duty to duplicate that. It's not about keeping it, preserving it, but actually you have to duplicate it and develop it. So that's on this side. So our fellowship, and second session of morning time is more on this side, work and service. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about practical matters. We want to be balanced, Lord, right? Amen. Okay, so how about read our title together, Preaching the Gospel, okay? Preaching the Gospel by being filled with God as love. Amen. So there's a way to preach the Gospel. It's by being filled with God as love. God is love. Our love is not that perfect, fallen, very biased, but hallelujah, God is love. Love is a nature of God's essence. What it means that what He is just is love. The best way to describe who He is love. He's full of love. He loves people. So we need to contact the Lord to enjoy the Lord who is love. When this love is filling in us, then we're able to flow out to care for people. You know, I serve, you know, quite a bit on the campus, and I love to talk about, you know, what is the best way to care for people, you know, what is the most efficient way. Sometimes we ask, oh, what is a new way, you know? Sometimes we know all these things. We even know all the right things. But if we don't have love for other people, brothers and sisters, nothing's gonna work. It's like, you know, a sports car, and you have a good engine, it's nicely furnished and streamlined, ready to run. But there's no gas. There's no fuel. Without proper development of love to other people, brothers and sisters, it's not going to work. So we're short of love, short of God's love. We have to come to the Lord again and again that He would fill us. Even though we don't know, we don't have that much good techniques, we're not that eloquent in preaching the gospel, but if you are able to love people, brothers and sisters, you know, people respond to care. Every living things respond to love and care. Do you know something? Do you hear the story? Sometimes there's a plant there, and then, you know, people talk to that plant and care for that plant. The plant responds to it. The human being has life and has heart. And you love somebody, and there's a response from that person. So may the Lord have mercy on us that we will be filled with God's love. that we will be able to love other people. That way, the preaching the gospel on our campuses will be more prevailing. Okay? How about we read Roman numeral 1 and A all together. Before getting into this matter, I just wanted to share with you one time. I was talking with one of the sisters who is RA, and she was saying, you know, today the people don't want to talk to people one another. In the room, everybody closed their door, and then they have their laptop or iPad, whatever it is. People are not interacting anymore. So things are going more toward impersonalized, right? We like text more than phone call, right? Is that true, right? We don't maintain our friendship by contacting people face to face. We maintain our friendship by Facebook, right? We look at picture, we just like it. We don't even leave comment, we just like it. That's how we maintain. That's how we maintain our friendship. The things are more going toward that direction, brothers and sisters. It's harder. We're talking about loving for other people. Lord needs to work in us. But once Lord has a way to work in us, it'll be great. Because the contrast will be very obvious. You see God's love coming out of you? Wow, that's quite a contrast, today's trend in the world. So, this word, our Savior desires all men. Brothers and sisters, all men. All men means all men. Not certain kind of people, not just promising one, not just faithful one, not just one that have church life, long history, same background. But God loves all men, especially sick one, needy one, who need the Lord's service. God just desire all men to be saved. Even this word, desire, I believe is a very strong word. Strong word. And, you know, I like to study and I need to study, but I don't desire study. Okay? But I realize that, you know, I'm kind of like traveling together with our students. And this is my fourth day of traveling. I realize that I desire my family so much. And I had a FaceTime with my daughter the other day. She was like waving at me, smiling at me. I was like, my heart is just pumping so much. So I tried to talk to her a little bit. And, you know, I desire my family. I have feeling for her. I have feeling for my family. God is the same way. He desires all men to be saved. He doesn't limit His service to only certain kind of people. Did you realize that? God paid the highest price to make His service available for all mankind. The fact that He became a man shows that He's interested in man. And He lived as a man, 33 and a half years, and He died. He gave His life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, for many. So I hope that we would have this kind of feeling. You know, if I write a check, number one, I don't make that much money. But if I write a check of $1,000, give it to Chris, that shows that I have feeling for him, right? But the Lord gave His life for all men. God so loved the world, gave His life as ransom for many, showing that He has interest in man. And because He paid such a price, He have a lot of feeling. I hope that we would have such a feeling toward other men. But what the Bible shows us is that He especially want to find those who are needy and lost one, right? Luke 19:10 says, Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Okay? And Luke 15, we know the story. And every time I read this story, I was so touched. You know, there's three parables matching the three persons in Trinity, right? The triune God is operating, coordinating one another to reach fallen man, right? The first story is about the second in Trinity, the shepherd, right? He's leaving 99 sheep behind, and he goes out of his way to gain one lost sheep. Okay? What does that mean? That means even though he had 99 already, his heart is still for somebody who's lost. Oh, we don't think this way. Even though he has even 9,990, the same way, if he finds somebody who's lost, he will go out of his way to find that person. But we're not like that. We're okay. We have a lot of brothers. We have some people. We care for them. But we don't have heart for the lost one and fallen one. Especially when they appear to be very different than us. Kind of shut down. Avoid. Well, you know, if you get into Luke 15, do you know what is the context of that story? Why the Lord started talking about this? It is the response to the Pharisees and scribes complaining. Do you know what they said? Why Jesus welcomes sinners and eat with them? I wonder if that's our spirit sometimes. The Lord doesn't have any problem with sinners. He wants to reach them. The Pharisees and scribes, they want to be away from them. They don't welcome sinners, but the Lord welcomes sinners and eat with them. No problem. No problem. But he wants to gain them, right? With love. So if you get into those story, shows he makes a lot of effort and he has a lot of feeling for fallen and lost one. At the same time, if he gain them back, and there's a joy. The joy and rejoicing, these words are repeated again and again. So brothers and sisters, if we find fallen sinners, we pray for them and we visit them with loving heart, then what's going to happen? There will be joy. There will be joy. So let me read you this striking statement from actually our reading. This is our brother Lee saying, "We need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners. The concept of preaching the gospel merely to win souls is too shallow. We need a loving concern for fallen man. According to my feeling, most of the saints among us have lost this concern and care for the sinners." And Brother Nee, this is the second chapter of the character of the Lord's worker. There's a section called a lover of man. Lover of man. Not just brothers, but lover of man. He was keep saying it as a fellow man. As long as we are men, we're fellow man. We should have equal status. And the only difference is we know the Lord and they don't know the Lord. Okay, so let me read this. "We must never feel that we are better than others. The only difference between us and an unsaved one is that we know the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are wrong in our attitude in many ways. We must turn away completely from such an attitude. We must see that all men are equal in the sight of God. Our Lord came to earth for all men." Okay? And then the other portion. "We should realize that you are the same as all other men in the eyes of God. You should love them. Their sins should cause you to recoil, but you should still go out in love for them. With such an enlarged heart, you will bring them back to the Lord." Okay, so let's go on. Maybe let's read the next point all together. B, 1 and 2. Amen. So we know this story. I think we're very familiar. You know, in talking about Micah prophet at the time, the Lord was with the children of Israel. But there's a story about this Gentile city. God had compassion toward them, the Nineveh. God prepared Jonah. Jonah was spending time with the Lord. So we need to spend time with the Lord, brothers and sisters. And in this time, in his time with the Lord, God appeared to him. Jonah, arise and go to sit in Nineveh. And then preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to them. Speak the words to them. It shows that God's heart, even though this city was full of sin, is a Gentile city. But God wants to save them. God has compassion toward them. But poor Jonah, very next verse, he take exact opposite way. He take the boat and go in other direction, right? And then Bible records that he was running away from the presence of God. You know, we talk about bad thought, but sometimes if you're lingering on the Lord's presence enough, Lord charges in the proper way. Maybe go visit that person. It happens many times. In order for us to be impressed with the gospel and then share gospel with other people, brothers and sisters, we need to spend time with the Lord. And arise, go. Jonah didn't obey. But, you know, we know the story, you know, the people throw him out of the boat and then God even prepared great fish, right? And then, you know, Jonah was kept in 3 days and a half day, and then he was vomited to the dry land, and he went back again to preach the gospel, and people were turning. People were turning. So even though we're unwilling, just obey the Lord a little bit. Lord, you know, kind of work out some details in our life, and we share the gospel with people, people get saved. Right? In Jonah's story, okay, I just keep reading Jonah. Actually, we have a brother named Jonah here. As I keep reading this story, I was like, oh, Jonah, you're saying this. Oh, Jonah, just do it in the opposite way, you know? But I, at the end, I was like, oh, Jeremy. My name, you know, I'm just exactly this way. You know, Jonah's problem, number one, he was very proud. Like, I'm a Hebrew. Keep saying this. It means, I'm a sanctified person. God is with me. You know, he just couldn't obey to the Lord, but bring this gospel to the city. It was 14 Gentile city. He was just not able to cooperate with the Lord. Number two, he was very concerned with his thing. Okay, so when people got saved, he was excited a little bit, and then he got mad again. I don't know why. He was very angry, and the Lord provide a tree and shadow for him, and he liked that. He really liked that. So it shows that he care for things in his life more than people's salvation. People turning away from sin and then turning to God didn't impress him that much. Rather, he cared for a tree and a shadow. I think it says a lot to us today, especially if we live in the United States and a lot of things are convenient. We have all sorts of entertainment. We have our things, right, that occupies us. That become hindrance. Instead of we take care of people, we take care of our things. May the Lord touch us. They'll be saved from all of our things, that we would be able to reach out our fallen people. Okay, let's read the C all together. Okay, so I just want to, just as a conclusion, I just want to share one testimony. So when I was in college, and I was kind of preserved, and, you know, grew up in the church life, and wanted to hang out with our brothers all the time, And there was a one brother, a little bit older brother, keep asking me, when are you going to spend time with your classmate? You always come back to club room and hang out with the brothers all the time. And he chat with me. Did you write down the people's name? Did you pray for them? Did you even look for the opportunity to spend time with your classmate for the sake of the gospel? We're not talking about, you know, hanging out with people. But he keep check on me. And I really appreciate that help. Sometimes we want to be in our comfort zone. We want to be with 99 instead of going out and reaching out people. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord have mercy on us that we would have enlarged heart for the fallen sinners. Okay, amen.
They're right on there. Okay. Can everyone hear me? Very good. Okay. My name is Chris Ambler. I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts. I think some of you might know me. I think also in the way of introduction, I'd like to follow Jeremy, give you my testimony in brief regarding my experience going out to preach the gospel as a college student. You know, I'd been on the gospel with the brothers in different campuses before, and I just kind of just hand out the tract, smile, and that's it, right? And then, you know, if somebody asked me, what is it? I'd say, it's a gospel tract, and then I'd smile, and that's it. Okay. So maybe that reminds some of you, that maybe that I remind you of yourselves a little bit. Okay, so don't worry if you feel like you're a gospel chicken. Okay, you're in the right place. Okay, you just keep enjoying the triune God as love, and eventually we'll see. Right, He will transform us. Okay, by His love to express His love, and. Just to continue with my testimony, you know, one day I really just had this sense within, Lord, I really need to make progress. I'm really scared of the gospel, Lord. It's good to be honest with the Lord, right? I'm really scared of the gospel, Lord. And what I'm really scared of is just talking to other people. I think we're all like that a little bit, right? So I made a deal with the Lord. I just had this feeling, okay, if I'm going to break through this fear, what I need to do is just every day contact someone new. Okay? And I just had the sense, you know, if we do it every day, you know, eventually, you know, the sense of fear or the response of fear in our being will be lessened. I just had that kind of feeling. So I made a deal with the Lord. And a deal is different from a promise. Okay? A deal is different from a promise because, you know, you try and make a promise to the Lord, okay, you try and do something by your own strength. You all know what happens when you just make promise, right? Usually you break that promise, okay, and you feel like a failure and you turn and you go on with the Lord. A deal is something different, okay? When you make a deal with the Lord, that means there is an exchange of goods, okay? So I said, Lord, you better supply me. I am setting apart this certain time and I am going to contact people. Lord, you better supply me, okay? And he honored that prayer, right? He honored that deal. And so what I did, first of all, I was really afraid of just getting rejected on the gospel, right? Who's afraid of being rejected on the gospel, right? Okay, good. So what I did, I just thought, I'm just going to go up to someone, I'm going to tell them, do you know that Jesus loves you? And then I'm going to walk away. I'm not even going to give them the chance to reject me, okay? That's where I was, okay? So if that's where you are, don't feel bad. Just start wherever you are and make progress. All right. The key is always make progress. All right. I didn't stay and just in that way of just talking to someone and then walking away. I made progress. Okay. And eventually I just had this feeling, you know, that I wonder how that guy responded, you know? So maybe I'll stick around and ask him what he thinks about it. Okay. And then I thought, okay, you know, if I ask him, he's probably going to say no. So then I just kind of went out with an exercise spirit. To be ready. Okay, he's going to say no. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyways, and I'm going to go talk to someone else. Okay? You just have that in your being. Okay? And eventually, you know, I got a lot of no's. Okay? Would you like to pray with me? No. Okay. I just kept on going. Eventually, I kind of learned to expect it. Then one day, someone said, yes. Praise the Lord, right? Someone said, yes. Okay. And then I thought, oh, they said yes. What do I do now? Right? So I just kind of, okay, all right, you just close your eyes, all right, forget about everything else, and just repeat after me, right? And I just, oh, Lord Jesus. Let's all call. Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe if you have the heavenly pump in your being to go and talk to someone, you call, oh, Lord Jesus, right? Because before they get saved, we need to get saved, right? Amen, amen. Okay, so let's continue with the outline. I'd also like to say, just before we read Roman numeral 2, you never know what's going to happen when you go out to talk to people about the Lord Jesus, right? The Lord Jesus in Matthew, you know, he just went out proclaiming. We're told he went out proclaiming what? Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens. And he met two that dropped everything. That was Peter and Andrew. So you don't know who you're going to meet. You might meet someone, right, that just wants to drop everything, come into the church life, right? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that, right? Yeah. Another thing, you might also save somebody's life. I know of at least one brother in the church life that was saved, like literally, he would be dead if a sister didn't go out, follow him, and just say, do you know that Jesus loves you? Right? So it's not a small thing that we go out to contact new people to bring them the good news of the gospel. Right? Amen. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 2.
God
is love. Amen. We need God's life. We need God's nature. What? Nature of love to transform us. Oh, I need to be transformed. Right. Do you need to be transformed?
Amen.
Everyone who needs to be transformed, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so we need his life and nature to transform us and supply us. Right? So that's why I made the deal with the Lord. Lord, supply me. Right? It's good to be honest. He will answer our prayers. Okay, this last phrase in the point says, that we may live out this God and express his love. You know, we were made for this. You know, in Genesis, was anyone at the live training on Genesis? Everyone? Anyone? Good. Were you impressed, right, that man was made in God's image according to his likeness? Wow, man is not a small thing, right? We were made in the image and likeness of God, right? So our heart for man should match God's heart. Right? Okay, if you read the footnote on 1 John 4:7, footnote 2 tells us that love is the nature of God's essence. And the footnote in Genesis 1:26 tells us that God's image is the expression of the inward essence of God's attributes. Can anyone tell me what the four most prominent attributes are of God's essence? I think those of you who were there were charged to memorize this. Anyone? Love, light, righteousness, and holiness. Very good, Gabriel. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the first one on that list is what?
Love.
Let's say it again.
Love.
Good. Amen. God is
love.
Wow. So we were made in God's image, right? To express God's love, right? Are you impressed? Amen. Along with this point, I'd like to share with you something from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 5 says, when the love to man of our Savior God appeared, he saved us. Okay? When the love to man of our Savior God appeared, he saved us. Right? This is what happened to you. This is what happened to me. Right? One day, someone filled with the love of God came to us. Right? You know, God is invisible, right? Yeah. So if God is love, it means God's love is invisible. Right? So God wants His love to become visible, right, to people. Right? So how does He do it? He motivates His children, right, by filling them with Himself, right, until they go out, right, and speak God's word, which reveals God's love. Wow. And when that happens, people get saved. And the Greek word for appear here is very particular. The Greek word is epiphaneo, from which we get the English word epiphany. And epiphany is a sudden revelation, right? So maybe you might think your gospel preaching time maybe might be a small thing, but in actuality, that's giving the Lord the opportunity to appear to someone through you. How many people want God to appear to someone? Okay. Through you. Yeah. Amen. You know, you might speak a small word. Yeah. Outwardly, I just went out to say, what, do you know that Jesus loves you? Right. I could have said a lot of other things. But at that point, that's just all I had to say. You know, I knew about, you know, image, expression, you know, God's purpose, New Jerusalem, right? But, you know, that's just where I was, right? Eventually, someone was impressed by that, right? They said, yes, I'd like to pray. What happened? They had an epiphany of God's love. Right? Praise the Lord. Right? Amen. So, another thing to note about this verse, people get saved when the love of God appears to them, okay? People don't get saved because you are eloquent, okay? People don't get saved because you're outgoing, right? People get saved because the love to man of our Savior God appears, all right? So whether you feel you know how to preach the gospel, or you feel you don't know how to preach the gospel, or you're nervous, or timid, or dot, 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 right? You just enjoy God, right? Get filled with God's love, right? And just go, all right? Don't get into your mind. Just go, right? Just follow the anointing, right? Surely God will appear to someone, right? Amen. And in John chapter 1, you know, at the end of John chapter 1, Philip preaches the gospel to Nathanael, okay? It's recorded in God's word, and Philip makes two big mistakes, right? So if you're scared, you know, that, oh, if I go out gospel preaching, I might say something wrong. Well, hey, Philip preached the gospel to Nathanael, right? He said, well, we found the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, which is wrong, right? Born of Joseph, which is also wrong, right? Jesus was born of Mary, right? But he said one thing, right? Philip said to Nathanael, come and see, right? Oh, praise the Lord. We can all say, come and see, right? Let's all declare that. Come and see, right? Just, you go out in the love of God, God will appear, right? And you look, the conversation between the Lord Jesus and Nathanael was like two sentences, right? And suddenly Nathanael says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. No, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel, right? So when people see Jesus, what happens? They get saved, right? Amen. Well, we're just a transparent vessel, right? To make visible the Son, right? Amen. Okay, let's all read A. Amen. Not merely an outward behavior, but is the expression of an inward life. Everybody who has the life of God in them, say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have the life of God. We have the capacity, right? The ability, right? By the life of God, right? To express His love to others. And not in the way of outward behavior. And the verse reference here is in Matthew 5. I'd just like to point out one verse, 5:44, where the Lord says to love your enemies, right? And, you know, we know in 1 John, right? John writes, well, we know that we have passed out of death because we love the brothers, right? The Greek word there is agape, right? We know that we passed out of death because we agape the brothers. Guess what? Same Greek word for love in 5:44, right? You need to agape your enemies, right? So, just do a brief look around, okay? Consider the brothers and consider your unsaved friends. Is your love the same for either of them? Right? Oh, we need to make progress, right? We need to make progress in God's love, right? So, yeah, and don't get self-conscious, don't get condemned, just pray, right? God will answer our genuine prayer, right? And He will transform us. Amen. Okay, let's move on to B. Yeah. Amen. Higher, nobler than human affection, because it has its source in God. So don't wait for like a warm, gushy feeling to come over you, maybe overwhelm you before you go preach the gospel to someone. Okay? This love is higher and nobler than human affection. Okay? Sometimes the love of God is manifested in you just because you just have a sense in your being to go and talk to someone. Or you have a sense in your being, I need to commit some time, right, just to go and preach the gospel to people. Now, I think that's a very good way. You just set apart some time to go and preach the gospel. Seemingly to you, it's random, but to God, it's sovereignly arranged. Right? Do you believe that? Right? Amen. I believe that. Right. Okay. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because He first loved us. And in John 6:57, it says, what? He who eats me shall live because of me. Right? So if you feel you're short on the divine love, eat Jesus. Right? Eat more lamb. I talked to a brother once. I just felt I was short in a particular matter. He just said, Chris, eat more lamb. Right? We need to eat the Lamb of God. Right? Right? He who eats me shall love because of me. Huh? Live because of me. Okay? Amen. Let's move on to C. This is the outcome. Inclusive. Amen. The practice of the divine love. What does that look like? I'm just going to leave that with you for now. You consider. Romans 5:5 says, what the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been poured out. Right? The love of God has been poured out. Amen. It's there. What? Through the Holy Spirit. So if you feel short, right? How about let's pray, Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Right? We're told, give me the Holy Spirit. Right? We're told in Luke, right? The Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Another way to make progress is to ask, right? Just ask the Lord. Hey, we are believers, right? Believers are receivers, right? So whatever we lack, we ask the Lord and we get it, right? Believers get what they need. Okay. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So as we're enjoying the flow of the divine life, right? In the Spirit, there should be a product, right? In our being. Which is love, right? And that love would cause us to go and speak to others about the wonderful Lord Jesus. Now, another way to phrase this outline point is to say the issue of our enjoyment of the triune God as the all-inclusive Spirit is the practice of the divine love. Okay, in brief, we get the word practice from the word and the ministry in 1 John. Chapters 2 through 5. And the word for practice there is a very particular word for practice. It means a constant, habitual doing. Okay? And Brother Lee uses the example in the life study. He says dogs have the practice of walking on four legs. Right? That's just their practice. Okay? They can occasionally walk on two legs, but that's not their habit. Okay? They do it occasionally and for a purpose. You know, they want to impress somebody to get a treat. Okay? When we go out to preach the gospel, right? Oh, we should do it as the practice of the divine love, right? This means that we have the divine life, we have the divine spirit as the motivation power in our being which drives us to go to speak to others, right? Not in the way of just doing it occasionally, maybe to, I don't know, to impress the full-time, oh, good job, right? Right? But really, because we just have this inward life in us. Okay? Even, Brother Lee even says what, it's a practice that we do unintentionally. We need to progress in the matter of God's love so that we preach the gospel even unintentionally. Wow. Oh Lord, may we all make progress. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read this one phrase, or this one short paragraph from the life study. Apart from the Spirit, this is impossible. Right? Who can love, this is me sharing now. Okay. Who can love agape your enemies, right? Only God, right? So apart from the Spirit, this is impossible. The divine life and the divine Spirit are the capital within us that enables us to practice the divine love. The divine life is the source, and the divine Spirit is the one who actually carries out the matter of loving others. Oh, are you encouraged by that?
Amen.
The divine Spirit is the one who actually carries out the matter of loving others. Wow. Whew. All right. You might try by your natural strength to love people, right? And you'll just get exhausted, right? But because that's not the way to love others. That's not agape, right? The real agape is the Spirit living in us, motivating us, and loving others through us. Amen. Okay, let's all declare Roman numeral 3. Amen. If we have a burden, care, and interest for people, right? You might say, well, Chris, I don't have a burden. I don't have the care. I don't have an interest. Okay? And don't worry, because in ourselves, we only have the burden, care, and interest for one person, and that's ourself, right? Oh. All the burden, all the care, and all the interest for people is in the Spirit. So if you feel lacking in this matter, get into the Spirit. Jump into the river. In brief, were you all impressed that in Genesis chapter 2, right, there's a river flowing, right? It has four branches showing that this river is able to reach men everywhere, right? So if you don't know how to care for someone, just enjoy the Spirit, right? You'll know how to care for them, right? Because the Spirit knows, right? And also, we see in that chapter, there's an issue from the river, which is what? Building materials. Okay? I don't have the time to go into detail, right? But there should be an issue from our enjoyment of the Lord Jesus, right? As the Spirit, right? That should be building materials for God's house. Amen. The Lord will open the door for us to speak the gospel to them. The college years are a unique time. I don't think I need to labor very much to impress upon you how unique the college years are. Maybe we live 80 years. Four of those years are college years. Okay, you never get those years back. Okay, so I hope you're all properly impressed with how important these years are for the Lord. Okay, the scripture reference here is John 4:35, and in that verse, it mentions something very particular. It mentions the harvest, okay? The Lord says, "What? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Right? And the harvest, that refers to a very particular time set apart for a particular purpose, okay? And in this meeting, we like to say the harvest time is the beginning of the school year, right? And the purpose is to contact new people for the gospel, right? It's biblical to preach the gospel this way. Actually, we'll see this more in the next verse. I'd also like to share with you Matthew 9:38 very quickly. It says, "Beseech the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out workers into his harvest." We need to beseech the Lord, that he would thrust out workers. And the Greek word there for thrust out is very interesting, because the Greek word is the same as the word used in cast out, as in cast out the demons, right? So maybe we're in our situation, we're comfortable where we are, right? But because we've been praying and the Lord has been operating in our being, the Lord will do something very wonderful for us, which is to cast us out unto the harvest, okay? The Greek word is ekvalo. That means literally to throw. Okay, valo means throw. All right? So maybe in your inward being, you just have the Lord just speaking to you. Eventually, he just won't let you go until you talk to someone. All right? That's the Lord casting you out unto the harvest. All right? And don't be afraid. All right? The Lord, it says here what? He will thrust out his workers into his harvest. All right? He will not thrust you out into a desolate situation. Right? His thrusting out is unto the harvest. Amen. Okay. In Matthew 22:3, the Lord says, he sent his slaves to call those who had been called to the wedding feast. And in Crucial Truths in the Holy Scriptures, Volume 1, I'd just like to read this quote to you. When we draw near to the Lord, a mysterious force pushes us to preach the gospel. God loves the gospel. All right. God loves the gospel. All right. What should our feeling for the gospel be? That's right. We should love it. Right. Because God loves the gospel. Okay. Thus, if we tell the Lord we are willing to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel, we will become extremely happy. Who wants to be extremely happy? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's tell the Lord, Lord, I am willing. Lord, I am willing to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. Oh, I'm happy. Amen. God delights in urging people by means of his love to go out to invite others to receive his salvation. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read A together. Amen. In Matthew 4, we see the Lord Jesus goes out to preach the gospel. Okay? So he's our pattern. Right? If you read those verses in verse 17, it says, Jesus began to proclaim and to say. Right? And in 18 it says, and while he was walking. So you get the impression, okay, he was walking about proclaiming what? Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Okay? So if the Lord preaches the gospel like this, and he's living in us, what will happen? Eventually, we'll be proclaimers. Amen. Okay, let's read B. It is easy for them to have a change in mind. Right? To have a change in mind is to repent. Right? So maybe that's another reason why the Lord went to UGA, which stands for what? University of Galilee. Right? UGA, right? University of Galilee. Right? To where that's where all the young people were. Right? And he said to them, repent. Why? Because it's easy for them to have a change in mind. Right? From when they thought one thing about the Lord. Right, then he spoke something to them and they repented. They changed their mind and they received the Lord. Okay, let's read C. Amen. There is an open door. Okay, freshmen, you might be feeling, okay, oh, Chris, yeah, I just moved out of my home. Okay, school is really hard. Okay, there's all these different people around me. I've just moved into the dorms. You know the atmosphere there, right? And now you're telling me I need to go preach the gospel. I need to go contact other people, right? Well, let's look at the scripture reference here. Revelation 3:8. Okay? It says, I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut. Okay? No one can shut this door, right? Not even you. Right? So if you're timid, you feel you're timid, you're scared, you feel like because you're scared the door's going to close, that's not going to happen. Right? No one can shut this door. All right? Because you have a little power. And you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Okay? You have a little power. So the footnote here says, this indicates that what pleases the Lord is not our doing much for Him, but our doing our best for Him with what we have. Right? So maybe you just have this feeling, okay, I'm just going to go out and say, you know, what? Do you know that Jesus loves you? And walk away. All right? Whatever you have, you do your best. Okay? Let's not be slothful regarding the gospel. Right? Amen. Okay, let's continue with D. At the beginning. Amen. The scripture reference just says what? Proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out. I invite you to read the footnote there. It says what? Be ready to speak the word whether you have the opportunity or whether you don't have the opportunity. Right? Footnote says opportunely or inopportunely. So whether you feel you have the opportunity to share with someone the gospel or you feel you don't have the opportunity, right? You just follow the anointing. Okay? The Lord will bless you. Okay, let's just all declare the last point and the focus together. College years are a unique opportunity to preach the gospel. We should allow God as love to fill us so that we will love others and carry out His desire that all men would be saved. Amen. Okay, let's pray with our neighbors. Let's pray that the Lord will really make progress in us. Amen.